Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. Today is Thursday, January 20th, 2011. I'm sorry about the white space. I talked for 2 minutes and thought my microphone was on. I do that all the time. It won't appear in the recording. I see that the crowd here is thinner than usual from Europe, and I'm sure it probably, if it has any, it may not. I know a few people said they wouldn't be able to make it this week, but if it has anything to do with my rhetoric, my harsh rhetoric of last week, I do not repent. I would rather sit here alone than sit here and accept one man's lies. I'm not going to let anybody tell a fib or something that I believe is untrue without it being countenanced. That's just the way it is. And when somebody states something that we believe to be untrue, it's our Christian duty to countenance it. If we don't countenance it, then we are being lukewarm. We should be, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. The Book of Life. If Yahshua Christ is the Word of life, and the Word which became life, and the Book of Life has to be the words of Yahshua Christ. The Book of Life has to be the Gospel. He came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If your name is not written in the Book of Life, you are going into the lake of fire. That is why, in Matthew 25, the nations of the world are divided into two camps, sheep and goats. Goats go into the fire, the sheep go into the kingdom. That is why the field is the world, and Yahweh planted the good seed. It doesn't say he planted any neutral seed or any bad seed. He planted good seed. Good seed are the children of the kingdom. Bad seed is bundled, the tares are bundled and cast into the fire because his enemy planted them. That is why the kingdom of heaven is like a net. When cast into the sea, every kind of fish is collected into the net. And the good kind, the word being genos or race, is preserved and stored in vessels for safekeeping. The bad kind, and Yahshua Christ, Jesus Christ, called them bad. They're not even thrown back into the sea. They're just left stranded on the shore. Now, what happens when fish are left laying on the shore? They wither in the heat of the sun. They die. They dry up. The bugs eat them. And they disappear. That's exactly what happens. Now, if that's the kingdom of heaven, then the way I look at the world, and the kingdom of heaven that is to be instituted in this world, there are only two races of people, the good kind, and they're going to be preserved, and preservation is promised to Israel throughout the Bible, and the bad kind. There's no third alternative. Christ says we're either sons or we're bastards. And if Yahshua Christ can look at the non-Israelite people of the world, or the non-Adamic people of the world, and call them bad, how can we assume that he changed his mind and had once called them good in Genesis chapter 1? Does God change? Does our God change? Certainly not. Anybody who wants to make up stories about Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 better do it within the context of the entire Bible. I'd be glad to take questions. That's all I'm going to say for now. I'll respond to any questions, any comers, any debates. Hopefully somebody wants to say something. This is an open forum.
Yeah. Where's Tia?
Oh, she's here.
Yeah, but the microphone is not open. Ah, here she is.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, hello.
Oh, that's fine. Good, good. No, I agree with every word of that.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, that's just the scripture, and aside from the popular opinions of some people, I didn't conjecture anything.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the scripture.
Chris should be there.
Well, that's why I made the opening statement that I did. If that's why he's not here, that's unfortunate.
He's not here either. And I think Danny was going to try and be here if he could.
Yes, well, they might come later. It's a long day.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
And if they don't show up, well, maybe they'll be here next time. And if they're not, well, I'll sit here alone. And I don't care who I alienate, because all I'm really doing it is quoting scripture.
Bill, as long as you don't sing, it's fine.
No, you won't hear me singing. Yeah. A man has to know his limitations.
Yeah. And in actual fact, we need these kind of discussions. So layers are very important for all of us. So we have to continue, and the others have to come in as well.
Well, it's on, my schedule is on Christogenia all the time. Yeah, you know, it's in that left-hand column, upcoming programs, and it's always listed there, and the date, and the time, and it's always on the front page of my site. And if the people that work with me or listen to me or have issues with me or on my website, then they would see it, right?
Right.
And if they're not on my website, then they'll never get the opportunity to read my Genesis overview, which explains my position on the other races.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
They call it the Kerovic show. It comes from the cold north.
Well, he was talking about the singing, right? The Christogenia karaoke show. We don't need that. But we'll leave that for the Martin Lindstedts of the world.
Yeah. Because I wanted to say something about it, but then they have to repeat it in half an hour. But I have been listening and searching for it. Studied all the works from what is it, from Clifton, and it's extremely interesting and worth it. I don't see it in every story, and that's a great pity.
I was hoping Clifton would be here today, but he's not. But it's probably slipped his mind, or he just didn't realize I was going to have it on the same original schedule.
Yeah,
so maybe he'll plan on being here next week, and we're not here, right?
Yeah. Can we not email him?
Well, you could try, but if you expect Clifton to answer his email anytime between, to look at his email, he doesn't look at his email like a lot of us do all the time, right?
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, you could give it a shot, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll email him and then call him the next day, and he'll tell me he hadn't seen it yet because he hadn't opened his email.
Right.
Yeah.
I check my email 10 times a day, because if I don't, then I have 200 unread messages,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they build up, don't they, and then it becomes impossible.
Very quickly.
Danny to write. Okay.
Hello, Danny. I received your packages yesterday.
Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Late always.
Okay.
I'm always late. Never going to be on time for anything.
Well, you missed my voluminous, long, lengthy monologue that
oh, darn it.
Lasted about 3 minutes.
Yeah,
it was good stuff.
You missed me going at it with the little kids here. So Thursday night's a babysit night, I guess. So.
Oh.
But I got your reinforcements tonight to help me out. So.
Well, babysitting's important, too.
I think they babysit you, actually, you know. They babysit us, I should say.
Right, it's like my dog. I'm his toy.
Yeah.
You gotta keep
You gotta keep servicing them, doing whatever they need.
Yeah.
Keeping track of them. Trying to keep them from going in the fireplace. And, oh, jeez. We have coal sitting out, you know, and the one little one, he just loves to get in that coal. And he's got it all over himself. You'd think that he was a special forces or something, the way he has it all over his eyes. Of course, when I was that age, I was a good boy, so I never did all that. So.
Oh. I hope so.
No, I don't think so. I think I'm getting paid back.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah. So, anyway, how's everybody doing tonight all around the world?
Fine.
Very well.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I found out yesterday I'd be going to California for a month, at least 3 weeks to a month to go see some doctors over there and stuff, so that's going to be good. Get in some warm weather. Temperatures dropped to here again.
That's right. We just had snow in the morning. Day it was melting away. Oh, yeah, the crew was there with salt shakers over the street here and the scrapers, all that were there. They did the best to keep it clean, and it's all gone in the meantime. Normal here. It goes up and down, up and down. Well, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm amazed how the temperature doesn't change much when it gets down by freezing. It kind of stays in that area.
Yeah, it's just around freezing point or just under, etc. And yesterday I saw them coming along with the salt shaker when it is 5 degrees plus zero. That was crazy. Said they are wasting material.
Yeah, there goes it underneath.
Useless money. You need about from three degrees on above zero, then you can expect it is going to get slippery. But 5 is hyperbolical. Well, yeah, okay, if they do, safety first, they say.
Yeah.
But it's normal here, so we are used to it, and we have
it's
a good
not good on your car, I'll tell you that, all that salt.
It's the hell for your car. That's why I like to keep it in the garage and let it sleep there for all the winter time. And I really use it, okay, then for a short ride, but not with all that stuff. And if, okay, then I'll take the water hose and I'll spray it all off. Wash it away. For all that salt is rotting your whole system. And I don't mind that at all. Therefore, the car is still too expensive.
We're
used to it.
I found the cars over here pretty cheap, I believe.
Yeah.
Pretty good condition. They're cheaper.
That's right. Depend on what kind of car you want. But you can get a car for an acceptable price. And even second hand. Less problematic.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But you can get a runaround car, as they say, really for like $500, perfect shape. Here.
Yeah.
So, or 300 and some pounds.
Yeah, you can do it. But I helped to keep that old car going. It's now 11 years old,
Yep.
Is that like your computer as well, the barrier man?
I must say, so far as I know, that the computer is younger.
Fractionally.
About 3 years, I suppose. So
right.
About that. Yeah. That is the old computer stuff. As long as it's working. Oh, by the way, were you capable of opening up the story, the film, which I did send about the volcano, the Etna volcano, yesterday?
Could I open it?
I saw it,
but I haven't had time to open it.
Because Dorcas complained that she couldn't open it. And it could be that I have to send it over via Firefox. Because Firefox, it's coming in by the old system. And that is not openable.
It's beautiful. I've just opened it now. Wow.
Oh,
it's fabulous.
Oh, okay. That means, then there is something strange with the computer. Dorcas. I don't know what happens there.
They're magnificent. I just haven't had time to go through them.
Yeah, that takes a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of photographs in. Yeah. Okay, then I'll try it with Dorcas. That I have to send it to Dorcas by means of the Firefox. That is a bit stronger system. And it could be that she's capable of opening up that. Okay. Good that I know that. Oh, they are still with the Schwarzenegger.
So what else is going on? Something has to be happening in the world. I posted a video on the Saxon Messenger site that there are zones that shows there are zones. This is from a German news agency, and it says that there are no-go zones in Berlin, where not even the cops are invited or wanted. And they even try to tell the cops to keep out. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Sounds like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this has been going on in France for some time, I know, and it's been basically ignored by the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh? Is that to be obtained from the net? Is there a link on the net? I'd like to see there.
Hey, I heard that what's his name? Lieberman.
Oh,
Joe
yeah.
Lieberman's quitting the Senate.
Well, he must have Alzheimer's or something, because I got a video I haven't posted yet that has him denying that Building 7 ever fell down.
Did you notice there? I'm kind of keeping an eye on him. They're buying all their homes and stuff out of the country. What was it there? Bush, I guess, bought a place. Is it Peru or they don't have extradition treaties? Whether he's... you know, worried about war crimes or, you know.
Well, here, all the treason laws have been repealed, virtually. Therefore, our traitors knew what they were doing when they were handing our country over to the EU, for example.
Well, right, but that's not going to help them escape the justice of God, right?
No,
that's
indeed
right.
Not. Indeed. You reap what you sow.
I think myself we're getting lined up for invasion. I mean, full-scale attack. I think that they're going to... I can see them pulling it off. I mean, the way they pulled off 9/11, these Jews, no one said a word. They're going to do the same with our country. I mean, I remember when Clinton went in, he took all the military bases, most of the Navy and everything out of California along the West Coast. So... And then I heard that they spotted a red Chinese submarine or something off the coast of California and shot a missile up.
The Chinese already own the Panama Canal and various places around there, don't they?
There's a rumor that they're trying to buy an air base in Idaho to have their own air base and have it treated as a Chinese only zone so that they could use it as a port.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a rumor. I don't know. I haven't followed up on it, but I saw a report of it last week.
Yeah.
I also, I didn't realize that the Red Chinese actually run the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember when Jimmy Carter gave it back to Panama, but...
Well, it's like leaving your back door open, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think I just, from knowing what they've done in the past and how they've, they worked with Genghis Khan and opened the doors of Samarkand and Babylon, posing as the merchants by their gates and stuff like that, and, you know, the yellow marker on the homes for the homes to keep Genghis Khan from attacking and looting, Jewish homes.
That's right. Yeah, I remember.
I think that was in the book Harold Lamb, March of the Barbarians. I read it.
Right. That could be
pretty interesting. But, these people, this is what they do. So also, in Spain, they were behind the Muslims. So,
we have to believe Ezekiel 38, and when we see that day, we have to know that that's the day that Yahweh is going to bring them all here to crush them here. They are all going to die here. Every one of the alien bastards that sets his foot on our soil will die.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it something? I don't know, the West Coast of America, I mean, we're California and all that. In my opinion, now I can't back this up, but I really think that I think he's going to dump that place. I think he's going to sink it.
Yeah.
I really do, because when you... I hope he doesn't do it in next month, but give me time to get out of there. But, well, we're going up to Northern California also after that. But The way he gathers everybody into that area, gathers all these, you know, you got everything there.
You've got all the aliens there.
Yeah.
And he just puts everything in one area. Boom. Yeah.
All the aliens, all the homosexuals, all the Jews, or at least a good number of them. It's
all on the West Coast.
San Francisco, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Even up in Seattle, you know, that place is...
It will be sliding off in the ocean.
But I'll tell you what, that San Francisco has got the weirdest people I've ever met. Just different, I mean, it must be full of demon spirits up there or something, because it is really unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, you go to cross the street, they try to run over you. Just everything. You know, there's no love in that city.
No.
But the Jews love it like that. They think there's a lot of love in that city, but it's all the wrong kind of love, right?
I know, they're all full of love.
Kind of is kind.
All full of love.
I'm glad that I have seen that the town there when it was still acceptable as many years ago.
Well, it is on a fault line, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah are actually, you know, there's a lot of speculation, but I believe it, that they are actually under that Dead Sea.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard the Bedouins still don't pitch their tents overnight around there. They said it's still evil.
I don't like the whole area there.
I'm not about to go, right?
No.
I don't think I'll ever be seeing it. Not in this life, anyway.
No.
I always see.
I always come to understand that Yahweh was going to just destroy that whole area.
Absolutely.
Blow them all up.
Yeah.
You see, there's another place. He Yahweh's putting all these people in that area. There's another area he's going to sink. He's going to totally destroy.
Mm-hmm. So, them off. Yeah.
I really do. I really think that he's setting his children up where we should be, out of these areas. And... hopefully, you know, if you got loved ones in these areas and everything, they'll come out of it like Lot did, but maybe not.
Yeah. Or it's too late.
Because I think we're in that time of course, you don't know what exactly year or day it's going to be, but I think we're getting pretty close to it. Just to
very close. Yeah, it's short before 12 o'clock midnight.
It just seems like anything goes now. Everything is just...
It's
rolling. There's no control on anything.
Yeah. It's the last barriers. It's now flooding out.
Yes. Like, I mean, our cities are overrun. People are like animals in these cities. Well, they got animals in the cities. You got it's like a jungle. Really, and I imagine it's going to be even worse. I think. I believe it will be once these economies go down and stuff like that. It's all supposed to happen. Don't be despairing.
Well, perhaps the rats will leave the sinking ship pretty quickly.
If they know,
I think the rats are going to get drowned. I think this is it. They're going to get caught and drowned. But I do have to agree with you, Bill. You know, you look over history... and all our Christian countries have tried to expel them, and you can never get rid of them. They always come back. Come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Christ tells us that only He can separate them. And His separation will be permanent.
I am
going to come and separate the sheep from
final.
The goats.
Right. There's no escape way.
And there's only two kinds, the sheep and his wolves. There's no room for a third kind.
I wouldn't want to be alive in any other time, but now I think these are...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's dire out there if you don't know who you are, but I'm confident that Yahweh will protect us, and if not, if we die, just go back into heaven anyway. So.
Yeah. It's too bad. It seems to be sad. Yeah.
Well, like Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you die, then you're only coming back. I mean, the end result is that we're all here. And they're not. That's the Christian faith. I mean, without that, we don't have a faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Certain. Yeah.
And I don't believe too many other religions, these pagan religions, believe in resurrection. Or if they do, they believe in, what is it, Buddhists believe you come back as an animal and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They got cows and chickens walking through their houses and pigs, and that's Uncle Joe, and or, you know.
Well, all of the original Aryan religions believe that we came back as we were. They all did. I mean, that's, you know, if you want to look at the ancient Greeks believed in Hades, that was the abode of the living souls of the dead.
Yeah.
They were living, and they wrote stories about how men went to visit them and spoke with them, and they wrote stories about how phantasma appeared, which were apparitions, which were the spirits of men. That they were, they had all that, and it was definitely a religion based on the same beliefs that the Hebrew religion was based on, and the ancient Norse had the nine realms of existence. Well, you know, take those nine realms of existence and compare them to what Paul said were seven heavens, and add the present realm, which is the life on earth, and then the underworld to it, and you have the nine realms of the ancient Norse, even though the ancient Germans, and they elaborated on it in the Eddas, but Niflheim is the abode of the dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Valhalla is heaven, and to the Greeks that was Olympus. And basically, in a nutshell, it's the same belief system. And all of the, you know, the Greeks and Romans that I've read that discussed it said that the Galatahi, or you know, the people that we know as Scythians, that they had a clear belief that they were such fierce warriors and such brave warriors because they had a very clear belief that even when they die, they live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, there's, if you go back to the original belief systems of all the Aryan races, you'll see the underworld talked about in the Akkadian inscriptions and Sumerian inscriptions. It's basically, even though it's paganized, it's basically the Hebrew religion at its core. And it's something of an afterlife and a belief of life after that. Yeah, you know, when Paul... In the book of Acts, in chapter 17, said that the Athenians scoffed at him because of he mentioned resurrection from the dead. Well, they really weren't scoffing at Paul as much as they were scoffing at their own religion. They became they were the equivalent of what we have as scoffers today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of white scoffers today that can't believe this or can't believe that. Well, the Athenians, that their own religion was so filled with embellishments and crazy stories and myths that you know, of things that were misinterpreted in their own past, so they came not to believe it. Just like today, most white Christians don't believe the Jewish myths, fables, and stories about the Bible. They reject the whole thing because snakes don't talk, and an apple can't do any harm to a man, right? I mean...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now they're... I saw a show on there. They were talking about that. They were trying to figure out or scientifically prove or disprove Moses coming out of Egypt and saying, you know, that he didn't actually part the sea or nothing. And, you know, it's always something that trying to you know, trying to run down the Bible and disprove it. And that the light, the Yahweh's light a pillar of fire and pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, that was just standards that the Egyptians used to hold up in the air, and Moses being an Egyptian at one time, that's what he used. Stuff like that. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Well, you know something, that's not what the Bible says. I don't know how you could scientifically disprove that something happened that was 3,000 years ago.
It's a bit difficult.
Well, that's, you know, it's not intended for us, Bill. It's intended for the younger kids, young children, see. They don't care about us. They're after the young ones, brainwashed young ones.
Oh. YouTube porn watch.
Yep.
Hello, Sussex Man. Oh, he's away. All right. I'm going to start advertising the show at 1 and having it at 2, right?
It might work.
What are you saying, Bill?
I think he's saying telephones.
Well, I noticed real early when I started this that Brits are never early. Today, Tia was early. I almost fell over. They're usually extremely punctual. If it says 1 o'clock, boom, 6 of them show up at 1 o'clock. So that's something I noticed real early in my experience here.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I think I take after my mom, who was late for everything. She was even late for a funeral, so.
Oh, that's pretty in time. That's interesting, yeah.
She was late.
The send is over. Oh, I'm still coming.
Today, it's all right. I'm going to change the subject. Actually, I was going to say that today in the newspaper we have the so-called Baroness Worsley, who is a Muslim, of course, saying that Islamophobia has passed the dinner table test and is seen by many as normal and uncontroversial. And apparently she's opining the fact that, you know, we're so prejudiced against Islam and how nasty we are. And then I was just thinking of that billboard that appeared before Christmas, not only attacking Christians, but Christianity. You know, it's as though they want it both ways. It's quite incredible that she can speak out in this way when her people do nothing but attack us and appear on the street saying, you know, death to unbelievers and chop off their heads.
Right.
Yeah, right. They're crazy, that is. What a world.
Well, right. They're not attacking people that reject them as equals in society. That they're attacking a host culture for its own beliefs.
That's right. And she calls it the ongoing battle against bigotry. I mean, talk about opposite day.
Oh, right. They're the bigots.
I wanted to come to England and the Isles just to live a nice, peaceful life, you know. And that's what they, I remember years back here, they just came here to live peacefully, and they're just so grateful that the English people would help them, and now this is what you get. This is what you get for helping them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we were told to be separate, weren't we? And we've disobeyed that law.
Yeah.
Put you out on an island out here.
Sorry?
He's broken off.
Oh.
Squeezed.
Danny, we can't hear you. He'll probably disconnect now. That's the usual pattern. And then he'll realize and he'll come back.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
That happens more often. I hope it's not here, but...
There he goes. He'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, white people have to be constantly be shown their hypocrisy, and it's hard to capture sometimes, but we just have to. That's why I'm trying to... I got this new series of little articles on Christogenia. Judaism with the mask off, right? And the first one shows how they're it's a trailer from one of their own movies, and it shows how they are glorifying Trotsky, one of the biggest mass murderers in history. And then I posted some pictures that somebody sent me yesterday, Leninade, that they made a soda named after Lenin.
Oh, how disgusting.
And it's that they made this soda named after Lenin, and they're celebrating Bolshevism, and they have they actually have some remarks that are making a joke out of Bolshevism.
They're ridiculous.
You know, these men are the greatest mass murderers in history. Between Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky, they exterminated 30, 40 million people. Whoever knows how many people, we'll never know. But it's at least. And the mainstream historians admit to 20 million. So okay, so if it's only 20 million, these three men are responsible, and their policies for the deaths of 20 million Christians, and they were all Jews.
Yeah. But that's why history's not taught these days.
It's a joke. I mean, these kids, right. They've totally rewritten history to ignore all of the most heinous crimes in the world. And I would think that Bolshevism, I don't know, it might be number two, but I would think it's probably history's third greatest hate crime. The first greatest hate crime is when the Jews killed God. That's the greatest hate crime in the history of man. The second greatest hate crime is the Holocaust hoax, because they have destroyed the German nation, and then they've accused it falsely of destroying them, which is an absolute lie.
Yes. Yes.
And their history's first two greatest hate crimes. The third greatest hate crime, I would say, is the Bolshevik Revolution. But that might be number two, you know, because it's right up there with Nazi Germany, with what they did to Hitler's Germany.
No, I think perhaps many more millions died due to the Bolshevik Revolution and the after effects of it over the next decade. You know, you're looking at 60 million people, probably.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt. And the mainstream, like I said, the mainstream admits to 20 million people, and it's probably more like 60. But even 20 million people, that's nothing to sneeze at. We can't. Yes, it is. It's mind-boggling that it's so easily dismissed.
Yes.
And all of the perpetrators were Jews, and nobody seems to notice that. I mean, it's common knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And now we let them, we vote for them over here and let them run this country. Well, if, you know, guilt by association, they're constantly using that mindset against whites. What we call ourselves Christian identity, and what do? They throw up Timothy McVeigh, Eric Rudolph, and Bob Matthews in our faces again and again. Well, okay, if I'm just like them because I share their religion, then who are you like? You share the religion of Lenin and Stalin and Marx.
Yeah,
that's right.
Zurich, yeah.
And in this country, I'm sure it's the same in England, just with different names, but in this country it's the ADL, it's a Jewish religious organization posing as a secular organization, which secular equals Jewish anyway.
Yeah.
But the word secular comes from a Latin word that means worldly. And anything that's secular is not neutral. It's opposed to Christianity because Christians are told to come out of the world, that we have to hate the world.
That's right.
Yep. And if Christians have to hate the world, and secular comes from a Latin word that means worldly, and I could open up my Latin dictionary and prove it, well then guess what? Christians have to hate everything secular.
Yeah.
There's no concord between light and darkness.
Yeah.
And now we have this ADL claiming to be secular. Well, it's a worldly organization. That makes it Jewish because it's anti-Christian.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes it satanic because it's anti-Christian. And Satan means adversary. And we have them telling our government all about the world's religions like they're some kind of experts. It's like asking the wolves about the sheep.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
It's absolutely destructive.
Not to change the subject, but has anybody heard any more on this wedding that's coming up between William and Kate, her name is?
I got it from Mike Halleymore, and I sent it around, and that's it.
I thought that she had to be a good luck.
I think those days are over. I think they're broken permanently until Christ comes back.
Oh, yeah.
They've totally trashed that throne, right? And they're going to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
But yeah, you know, this is the prophecy where it says that the key of David is fallen. That this is exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
Clifton pointed this out several years ago. The key of David has fallen. Christ will pick it up.
Queen Elizabeth was the last of the blue bloods.
I think she probably was.
Yeah.
It was going to be Christ that was going to take
Well, that's what we hope, right? But we don't really know if there's going to be a period in between. I mean, there are other descendants of David on other thrones elsewhere in the world. I mean, I hope, or in leadership positions elsewhere in the world, right?
Like the one down in, like the one down in Australia, Michael.
Isn't he a shepherd or something?
No, he's a. What is he? He works in a warehouse, I believe. Runs a forklift.
Right.
And they had. What is it, that lineage from London there, they traced his traced him down.
Right.
And went down and did an interview on him, and he brought out all his genealogy.
Yeah.
It looked like he was actually more royal than the royals. Now, I don't know, like, his... Now, his wife, I don't believe, was a royal, but I don't know how that would work out.
Well, let me read Isaiah 22:22-25. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all the vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and cut down and fall. And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off. That's the key of David, is fallen. And this is exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But in Revelation 3:7, Christ says that he has the key of David. That's why we cannot put our hope in worldly leadership. That's why we have no political solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's definite there.
Hey, it's interesting. Hey, that's, I have to read that as well. Where was it written?
Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22:22-25 is what I just wrote, read, and I also cited Revelation 3:7.
Okay, Isaiah 22. Okay, I'll find it.
It's at the end. It's the last four or five verses of Isaiah 22.
Okay.
You know, Adolf Hitler complained about the German nobility intermarrying with Jews. From the 19th century, this started. This started then. This started with Disraeli and that entire time when the Jewish merchants had bought their way into all those seats of nobility. This started. This horse has been out of the stall for 150 years. But what we see is the end result of it. We hope it's the end result. We hope it can't get much worse. I hope a nigger never sits on a throne in Westminster Abbey, but who knows?
No way.
Well, we like to think no way, but you know, 20 years ago, if you told me there'd be one in a White House, I'd say, no way.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is so fun. That's right. Yeah.
And it's funny how the New World Order, they do a lot of things on the number 11.
Yeah,
they always move on the number 11.
Yeah, we are now in 11.
And, you know, Obama went in at 2009, 2 and 9 is 11. This year, he went in on the 111th Congress. Number 11 plays a big part in their moves. I don't know why. It's just what I see.
A figure of chaos.
Well, also, you know, I was looking there because some guy was pointing that out to me, and he was saying that like the collapse of the world or the economy in 1929 on the 29th of October.
yeah, yeah.
2 and 9, also September 11th, John Kennedy was killed on the, the 22nd of November, 11-11-11, which is 33, it was the death of years, supposed to be of Christ's death, always in 11, number 11, so, and this year is 2011, so this ought to be some big event coming up this year, I would think, I don't know, we'll see.
Let her wait. It will come.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hello there. I've been busy trying to, June's been trying to get in with Alan, but there's some problem with the wireless router.
Oh?
I've been getting knocked off a lot also.
It was telling them there was no server, and it was trying to resolve, it couldn't resolve the name Krista Jenner.
Dot net.
Yeah.
Well, let me, hold on one second, Chris, and I'll, have them put this where they would put Christagenia, right? This set of numbers right here. Instead of putting Christagenia.net, have them put that. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That ain't the right one. That's the old one. That's where I used to have the Christagenia server. Let me come up with another set of numbers. I'm sorry. I got too many, too much stuff. There we go. That should get you here, too.
208. Because it might be just the wireless,
Well, they should try Christagenia.org on their browser. If they could get to Christagenia.org, they could connect to, KingSneak server using Christagenia.org, too. Or Christagenia.net, Or those three, that IP number. That's my IP number for my server.
Right. So if they do get through, it come through as Jay Durham. That's what I set it up.
Well, they've been here.
Yeah.
Well, it says connected at the moment.
They're here. They've been here. They were here before. They were here for about 10 minutes. And I turned her microphone on, but there was a lot of feedback, so I had to turn it back off.
Well, today. They're there, aren't they?
Yeah, and she was here the other night. I mean, if I knew that Jay Durham was June, I know Jay Durham is from Britain because I checked last week when she was here.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was June. I didn't, Jay could be anybody.
Yeah.
I thought if June came here, she might recognize, use a name we could recognize. But Jay Durham, now I know it's June, so.
No, and yeah.
Yeah, well, it stands for June in Durham. That's the county.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But, well, that's nice, but I also didn't know what town she was in either, so.
Right. Newcastle upon Tyne.
Well, don't tell her that, because she's not in Newcastle. She's actually in Durham.
Well, I get a lot of people on Newcastle. Oh no! I saw that there's a place. That's funny. There's a place in Wyoming called Newcastle, and somebody's always on it on my website from there. Newcastle, Wyoming.
Newcastle's in the British Isles. There's one in Staffordshire.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
there
one. There's a Newcastle in Northern Ireland as well. Somebody was saying about the number 11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, number 11 is the number of Gog. Phonetically, if you know A equals B, the number of Gog adds up to 11, and also Gog is mentioned exactly 11 times in the Bible. They like that number because the Illuminati, came from the Knights Templars, they were formed in 1111. And it wasn't until 9 years later in France, Clermont, that they actually become established. That's why they like the number 911. And also they have nine numbers.
I'd have to ask you how 11 is the number of Gog. I'm just curious.
The position in the alphabet, I think G is 15 or so. Yeah. And O, I can't tell you off the top of the head, I've got it on my GOG slides.
All right. Well, in Hebrew, I don't...
And then you add them together, you come to 11. And likewise, if you do the same with Jew, you get 11. And also with Kazar, you get 11.
All right, because in Hebrew, I believe Gog is Gimel, Vav Gimel. I'd have to double verify that, but that would add up to 12, actually, right?
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying in the English language.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I just thought about that. That just came to my mind after this. Well, a guy pointed out, guy mentioned something like that, and I noticed, geez, you know, is that, I wonder if there's something, I mean, this was that it had anything to do with it. Just seems like number 11 for me, myself, in my life, is not a very good number. All my tragedies happen at 11. I don't know.
And before the gold was no longer, you know, before they took gold off the equation, the Rothschilds and four other bankers always met at 11 o'clock each morning to fix the price of gold every day except Saturday.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do. They like that number, the New World Order, Jewish World Order. They like that number. Some reason,
and also,
I think.
The city of London is 677 acres, which is 666 plus 11, the beast plus Gog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also you got number 10 Downing Street representing the premier tribe of the 10 tribes, and next to it you got the treasury at number 11, you know, the 11th floor. Representing the financial power.
And also,
interestingly, I forget which road it is, but the address of the Fabian headquarters is number 11.
Oh. Even.
Very interesting.
And also, of course, we celebrate the great massacres on the 11th of the 11th.
Right.
Well, at least we do in the UK. Of course, you don't in America, I don't think. Or on the continent, just here in the UK.
No, 11th of 11th, that is St. Martin's.
Yeah, and David. Roosevelt went on, what is it, 33rd, 1933. Hitler went in on 1933, and I don't think he was the Antichrist, but I do think that Roosevelt was.
Hitler definitely wasn't the Antichrist. Hitler was a Christian. Anybody that tries to make him out to be the Antichrist is a Jew.
But that Roosevelt was a warmongering rat. He was one of the boys.
Well, if he wasn't a Jew, he missed a damn good opportunity.
I think Bill Clinton came back as from Roosevelt.
Yeah.
That Clinton.
Yeah, that was a connection.
Well, they're cut from the same globalist cloth. I mean, Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, also, I heard that I'm just hearing these things over the internet. I heard that a couple days ago that the Red Chinese invaded the American airspace with a new type of jet, a stealth jet. We didn't know it was even there. It was one of ours, and it sounds like that deal that ChinaGate that Clinton was involved in when he sold a lot of our technology to the Red Chinese.
Well, the Jews also sell our technology all the time to the Chinese.
Yeah, and they have a stealth fighter that penetrated our airspace without even knowing it. So I don't know, how they get away with this? Unbelievable that Clinton.
Well, they're not doing anything that we're not warned about.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And until our people wake up and repent, we're going to just see it get worse and worse.
Right.
I think it does. I really do. I really believe they're going to put Obama back in again. We're going to have another 4 years since they control the voting and all that. So.
But what does it matter? It shouldn't matter, because whether there's a Republican in that calls himself a conservative, but he's really working for the neocon Jews. Mm-hmm. Or there's a Democrat that calls himself a liberal or a progressive, and he's working for the same Wall Street bankers, that they may not be as the staunch defenders of Zionism that the Republicans are, but what does it matter? It's the policy of the Wall Street Jew that always prevails.
They have their boy in there. This is their boy. This is the one they groomed for space. He's not an American, so he doesn't have any feelings towards the United States or, you know, any patriotism or anything. Or so he's just exactly, you know, he's a half black, half nigger, so he's one of their he's the perfect. I mean, I remember when I saw that video with Kissinger, just elated over Obama. He just loved Obama. He was just couldn't believe everybody just accepting him, and he's so well known. And so when you see guys like that, these Jews praising people, you know, Barack, that's a Jew first name anyway, or Hebrew.
Hey.
So.
Hey, Danny.
Hey.
Hello. They always happen on odd years, these false flag terror events.
You think?
Yeah, 1941,
1963, 2001. Yep.
But you'll see. Where? What the heck is that?
It was interesting talking about this, getting back to the coronation. I just found an old, really old, I think it's dated 1930, booklet from the Covenant Publishing Company in 6 Buckingham Gate, London.
Yeah, that's the BIWF.
Sixpence. Yeah. It's all wilted. It's all torn.
There was a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, oh, it's 1937 by Adam Rutherford. By Adam Rutherford. Yeah.
He was into the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it has all the, it's very interesting.
Well, a lot of his supposed prophecy fell apart, right? And I had to check real quick and find a false flag event that didn't happen in an odd year, and that was the Maine, right? It happened in 1898. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah. Well, let's
see.
I don't know. That
I don't give numerology all that much respect because people always seem to get carried away with it. Yeah, I'll give an example. A good example is Bonnie Gaunt. And if you ever read her book on the numerology of the pyramid, most of what she said at the beginning, it kind of made pretty good sense. And then she started to go out on limbs and jump off cliffs and say all kinds of crazy stuff. And it just, when I checked it out, it just didn't wash.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I know that they, what is it, in the Kabbalah or something like that, that's supposed to be the Jews try to make something like it's some prophetical stuff, but I don't go by that.
Well, yeah, they look to legitimize their own existence.
Yeah, I've never seen a rabbi raise anybody from the dead but Satan, you know, satanic spirits, I guess.
Well, they're absolutely devils, there's no doubt.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And it's our job to witness to that. That's the way I look at it.
That's hard to do.
I think it's pretty easy to do. I don't know. I know it's hard to get people to listen, but it's more fun when you make a sport out of it. Don't expect any results, and you'll never be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. But wait till you see the salon walking down the street with some big nigger. Then that just really gets you. That's a really just eats you.
Well, I hate to tell you how many times I saw that in the prison visiting room.
Really?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah, that just really. Or you'll see some. Blonde, blue-eyed, white man with some little dink girl, you know, or something.
And it's always crack money, you know. You never see a white woman with a Negro trash collector.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I saw a lot of it in California. My dad always told me that what they did is they brought in blockbusters, called blockbusters, into white neighborhoods. Blacks married white women and just, you know, buy houses to break the neighborhoods up, because as soon as the black moved in, they, you know, the value of the property would go down. That's how they break up the white neighborhoods.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was an open campaign in the 60s. I think they don't really have a need for it anymore, but...
No. But, I mean, over here, same thing. They said that this is what they're going to do over here, and they're doing it. And for a few times here, I saw this black and white couple walking around, but they're gone now. Over here, that's a whole different... They take care of it. I don't know. It's a little different over here. People have been through a lot of hard times, so they're not ready to put up with that stuff. They've seen what happened in England, in America, and I think their resistance a little more. They're working more on the children.
I think television plays an important part in the brainwashing, because even though our population isn't anything like only 25% white, if there are four people pictured on television, you'll get one black, one white, and then two in-betweens. Yeah. So you're suggesting that the white population is less than 25%. And it's always portrayed like that. Or if there's only two people, then it's a black and a white.
Right.
But you'll seldom get two white people together.
Say, the best thing to do is don't... Especially if you have children, don't have a TV.
Well, the problem is, right, the problem isn't the people on the TV. We expect them to be devils, and we got to expect them to act exactly like they're acting. The problem is the white people that buy and watch those televisions and support the products that advertise on them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I saw that program about the rabbis over there in Israel, and they had families. They didn't have TVs. One of them had TVs.
Right.
That I saw. And I'm sure their children don't brush. I'm sure their children brush their teeth and baking soda and stuff like that.
Well, I'm not so sure they brush their teeth, right?
I'm just saying that they're not going to brush with fluorides and stuff like that. They know what they're doing. It's just the white people don't realize that the conspiracy against them. Most white people don't realize. Oh, they wouldn't do that. And they're not going to realize this until, like I've always said, until the food disappears from the shelves in the stores, and it starts to upset their daily routine. Then you'll see.
Yeah, because they project, or we project our decency on others. In a very innocent way.
Right.
You know, we don't imagine the agenda that people have held for many, many decades and centuries, mm-hmm. and some even thousands of years. You know, it's just outside the way we think.
Well, right, that is. It's a major fault of ours. Like the Turks in Germany, right? The Turks in Germany, well, they were at the gates of Vienna trying to destroy it 330 years ago. What makes us think they've changed?
Exactly. Yeah. But, of course, you don't teach history. Nobody's learning history. And they're not going to...
No, they took it out of our schools and called it social studies back when I was in the seventh grade.
Same here.
Yep.
But, which is absolutely suicidal, and we let them do it.
It is.
The danger,
Multiculturalism. White suicide.
Yeah. Horror.
But again, if you're looking at history, every great empire and even nations, once they become multicultural, they fail.
Without a doubt. That's why I have that top paragraph on Chris DeGeninger. That's the way it's staying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't. It's amazing. It's the brainwashing and the years of brainwashing people. They actually voted in a non-American as president because it was the thing to do. It's amazing how they really did such a job on that, brainwashing people. That was their ultimate.
But they might have had some help. Danny, they might have had some help from the Diebold machines, the voting machines, the electronic voting.
Yeah. Well, I saw a congressional hearing a couple years ago. I'd have to look up the details and everything, where a gentleman there did testify that it can be manipulated. The voting can be manipulated, and it used to be hand ballots. You would fill out and vote on. And now it's all electronic, so it's controlled. That's why I say that the boy's going back in again for another 4 years or whatever. Obama.
But well, it doesn't matter to me who the president is. It doesn't matter. But we have to step out of the world and realize that and recognize that Yahweh our God is sovereign. And when he wants to crush this beast, that this beast is going down. And we're on his time. I mean, we all want it to be now. And that's a fleshly desire, right? But we have many of our brethren have yet to learn their lesson.
Yeah. I guess it's just been around this message and this conservative movement for so long, after a while you just seeing this.
Right.
I just never realized, like you said, Bill, I never realized that this was gonna happen so fast.
Well, you know, we all grew up with this this childhood vision that we had of this wonderful nation with this beautiful history that we lived in, whether it be Britain or America or Germany, right? And what we wanted to be that. We all want our nation to be that. But it can't be, and it can't be because it was corrupted. Well, it can't be because of the war, that the enmity that Yahweh said would come. How many? 7,000 years ago, 8,000 years ago, right? I mean, this horse. Well, when you really understand history, we all think it got worse in our own lifetime, and it did get worse in our lifetime. But that ball was rolled hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You know, I mean, Britain went down the tubes when with the Bank of England. Or maybe when William let the Jews back in. Or who knows, right? It's there's always an event before the event that caused that first event to take place. It's a ball that rolled in Genesis 3:15.
Bill, can you unmute Clifton?
So we all want to return. I want to return to the New York of the 60s. When the black neighborhoods, white people just didn't go in them, but the Negroes didn't come out of them.
Right.
But when I was a boy in 1965, 66, my mother used to put me on the bus and send me to kindergarten.
Yeah.
She walked me to the corner and put me on the bus. In the afternoon, I found my own way to the bus stop, gave the bus driver a dime, one thin dime. I'm showing my age, right? And I made my way back home. I knew when to stand up on the seat and pull a little string to let the bus driver know that I wanted out.
Yeah.
And usually my father was there on the corner to pick me up from the bus, but they put me on the bus to send me to school. I was 5 and a half when I started kindergarten.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the Jersey City of 1966. Today, you don't want to let your 15-year-old go to school alone.
Yeah.
It's mad. You don't want to let your 5-year-old play in the backyard alone.
Yeah.
That's the way it is today, and we all want to return to that life that we had when we were five, but we would see our country like to return to that, but the corruption had already long fell in place by that time, and this is the result and the culmination of 400 years of letting Satan run our lives, and it's taken 400 years for Satan to get this far. And that's biblical prophecy. Yahweh will crush Satan.
Yeah.
We will prevail.
Yep.
But we have to take it in stride, and we have to let the word of God play out, because we're on his time. He's not on our time.
No, that's correct.
Yep. Hello, Clifton.
Yeah, I got my mic on now.
How you doing?
Hi there.
Hi there. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, hi to everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, I remember being in school, and I remember saying prayers, Christian prayers, singing patriot songs and all that. And I remember the letter that my teacher received that said that no more Christian prayers and all that. And she said, well, we will have Christian prayers and have people in this class don't like it, they can go out in the halls. That's the kind of teachers I had.
Well, right. So the Jews waited another generation and corrupted another generation of youth to break down the fabric of society.
They were already working on the future teacher, see?
Yeah.
Even. Oh, yeah.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. They're molding man. We were made in the image of God, but the Jew has been molding man in his image, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. In the room.
Well,
image.
Like I said before, that the rabbi said that the Aryan man in America won't talk to the Aryan European Aryan but through us.
Well, you know, the internet should be breaking that down, right?
Yeah. But I mean, on your regular news and everything like that, they're right. What is it, 97% of the communication companies are owned by the Israelis or something like that?
Well, right, but you know, it's Reuters had a virtual monopoly on all news between Europe and America through both world wars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. But the internet, must be a big pain in their side. Another white invention.
Well, yes, it is a big pain in their side, but they also make a lot of money on it with their pornography and their smut and all the filth they love to spew.
Yeah. Forgot about that. They have good hindsight, don't they? Because they're so bred into that type of stuff, of jumping on something. You know, they like the white man to invent it, and then they take it.
Well, I remember when the smut hit the internet, and it hit hard when it did. 1994. It didn't take long. It didn't take long at all for them to fill the internet with pornography as soon as it was as soon as they realized that they should.
Internet 2. When is Internet 2 going to come?
Watch and see if Internet 2 stops the pornographers. And you could bet it won't now. You could make that bet now. It'll be a safe one.
Yeah.
It could stop all the pornography, and especially the child pornography and all these offshore servers and websites that serve that crap up. They could stop all that tomorrow if they wanted to.
And, hey, that's money.
Icelander Internet 2 won't be the end of Christigenia. But they'll have to do better than that.
Mm.
I've looked at Internet 2. It's just not going to do it. Because I'll just get 6 more servers.
Yeah, connection. Yeah, to work, yeah.
They need a lot of help, Sussex, man. They got all kinds of feedback when I turn their microphone on, and they have to tweak their settings.
It's my old laptop. It's running very slow. And when you try to do adjustments, you have to wait ages, you know, and then sometimes it doesn't close down. So probably have to get one of those programs that goes through and cleans the machine up, you know, gets out all the junk. And there's probably some drivers not working or something, I don't know.
Alan's with June right now. Do they live within proximity of each other? I know they're both in further north than you are, right?
It's from where I am. It's a 345-mile drive, 7 hours drive.
Yeah. You still have miles in England? I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Trying to change it, but they haven't managed so far.
And pints.
Pints are a lot more important than miles. I know that.
I mean, the Germans did better than us. They managed to keep pounds, their funt, whereas we have to be on kilograms.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they still, over here, they still have miles over in Northern Ireland.
They go down south.
It's driving down there.
But the Southerners gave it up for kilometers, did they?
Yeah. No. Everything is like, if it says 3 kilometers, you know, sometimes it's 5.
Well, maybe that's a joke they just pull on you northerners, you know. They know how what the distance is.
Well, we know where we're going anyway, because we used to say, you know, if they gave the wrong distance, oh, it's Irish miles.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Wow. My grandmother's from the south of Ireland. I worry now.
It's so funny. You know, and it's funny, too, because you could tell when you go from the south into the north, you know, all of a sudden the roads get a lot better. I do have to say that. The roads get better, you know how many miles you got to go. But down there, it's like a joke almost. It's funny how they...
But in the EU, every country has to follow suit and have kilometres, unless you have a temporary derogation, which is what we in Britain have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only a temporary derogation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last thing they will alter because it's the very, you know, it's the thing that is in front of everybody's nose. So it'll be the very last thing they change. Yes, those two things.
I think they'll raise a lot of hell here if they try to take the pound out.
Yeah.
I think they will. I'm pretty sure.
Well, it depends. You see, if you have some sort of massive financial failure and you are offered your bank account in pounds, which are worthless, and this new currency, you'll probably, you know, opt for the... What?
Right. They'll all just roll over.
That's what George Soros says that's going to happen.
Mm. Well, they never do anything honestly, do they? So.
That's what he said, that the United States and Britain are dragging the world economy down. And we need to get on board with this, with Red China.
You know,
get on board with Red China. That's the going currency now, the yen. So they're going to drop this, the dollar being the world currency, and they're going to use the yen or yale or whatever you call it. So,
or possibly the euro or something, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they all just love China. I guess they got China ready to go now, so.
Yeah.
So, let's go. I'm ready. Let's get it on. Let them drop the economies.
Well, Daniel said that our kingdom will never be taken away, so. The beast might be running it right now, but he's only renting it.
They got kicked out of heaven, came here, and they're going to get kicked out of here. They're cursed people. They never can have a nation. So they can't even grow food.
Yeah.
They're so cursed. I think sometimes we give them too much credit for their cunningness. You know, with all their money and everything like that, you think that they would try to do good. You know, try to make life better for everybody, but they don't. They can't help it because that's just the way Yahweh.
Well, when Africans come and leave Africa, they bring Africa with them. And wherever the Jew goes, they bring hell. That's the way it is. I mean,
everywhere.
You can't take the jungle out of the beast.
That's right. Yeah.
Two.
Yep. And I do believe that the black race brought here by the... I do believe that they've been brought here by Satan.
Yeah, well, you got a problem because Eli says God created them.
He created them. He put them on another planet, but I believe that they were brought here by Satan. I mean, look at these people.
You won't get an argument to me. They're devil worshippers. I mean, voodoo, they admit, is devil worship. They admit it. They worship their father.
You all can look at a typical example. It's happening right in front of our face with this Haiti thing. They had the Haiti earthquake down there. And I heard a black Haitian guy on there saying, well, we're waiting for aid, and we're waiting for people, the world, to come and help us and all this stuff. But you see them down in Australia? The guys are out there. The women are out there. Everybody's clearing their houses out, fixing the place back up again. There you go. You can see who God's people are.
Well, of course you can. I got a little video on about on the front page of Krista Gettinger, I got the Australian floods. Where is the outcry? Where is the outcry? Where is the mainstream media drumbeat for aid, for charity, for all of those poor, flooded Australians? The region of Australia, which is seriously flooded, is larger than Ireland. And why are we not flying down there to adopt little Australian children and bring them home to America by the tens of thousands? Could the relative media silence about the disaster in Australia and the lack of outcries for aid, charity, assistance, or emigration have anything at all to do with the fact that most of all the affected Australians are white?
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what I was telling my wife too. Yeah. You don't see John Travolta flying down there in his jet and bringing guys down and Hollywood raising all their charity and all this kind of stuff, see, because it's white people. Oh, well, you know, those white people. I know that whole Hollywood scene is just, they're so hateful.
Well, the whole thing proves that Negroes are only one thing, the pets of Satan. Satan created them. They're Satan's pets.
Get down here and help me get this place. He was on. He was upset, his brother. Get your... Never mind that. Get out there. Get to work. Start clearing those buildings out. Clear that rubble out. Take those old bricks and start building new walls.
Gallagher, yeah, there are a lot of gooks in Australia, but nothing yet compared to the white population. That there are a lot of Chinese or Oriental immigrants into Australia lately. It's pretty sickening.
Yep. But there's a typical example right there if you want to see who the builder race is in this and all the suffering they've had, and you hear nothing about that. But, you know, that's the way our race is. We just butt up and go to work, rebuild again. Those blacks in Haiti wouldn't even had any of those homes and stuff like that if it wasn't for the whites that built it before them.
Well, it's the same thing with Iowa. But you know, when Malaysia, which is basically a yellow country, when that got flooded with earthquakes and tsunamis, there was a huge media outcry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Iowa got no attention whatsoever, a passing reference in the news, and well, where's the drumbeats for aid for Iowa? They're just non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't white people see this? They watch the news every night. They never see this. I never see the average person in the street remarking upon the hypocrisy of the media, that they're just totally dumbed down, that they're absolute idiots, and that's why... That's why this is not going to be an easy lesson for our race. It's going to be a very difficult lesson, because it has to be.
Right. Yep. Yahweh knows we're stiff-necked people.
But so much is not mentioned on the news. For example, about South Africa and the genocide of the white people there.
Yes.
When you try and tell people about this, people look at you with open eyes and say, oh, I think you've got it wrong. You know, it couldn't possibly be happening. I mean, we've just had the World Cup there, you know, and all sorts of things like that.
Well,
because to a large extent, it's suppressed. And then when you do try and show people the videos and the horrific photographs, you know, they don't want to look at it.
Oh, the crime that goes on down there. I'll tell you, if I was the white South Africans, I would level that whole country and leave it in ashes and say, there you go, niggers. You want this place? Go ahead. We'll leave it just like we found it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. That's what I would do.
Well, that's why when they found it, there weren't any of them there.
No, they came down from the north.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And it was the Jews and the British that brought them down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes
Right.
The round table.
The government in the round table there. Right.
Yeah, and I got a chance to meet some, this was back, I think, in the early 90s, or no, late 80s, a couple lieutenant colonels from the South African army down there. And that was quite a conversation. I just thought they were going to rise up and throw off this power, but they didn't.
Well, no, because we're told our kingdom would be handed over to the beast, and there ain't... Adolf Hitler couldn't resist the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And South Africa can't resist the beast. And it proves that our race... It's showing us that these Germanic people, that they are the kingdom of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty powerful people, those South Africans. I really, that was quite a conversation, and very patriotic. Mm-hmm. And they all knew, you know what's so funny? They knew about Christian identity, and they knew who their race was. They knew that they came from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were God's people. Didn't have to tell them anything. They knew it all.
Yeah.
I get a lot of visits on my site from South Africa.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
There's a lot of Christogenia traffic from South Africa.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Jews wanted all those diamonds and gold and silver down there, so they had to, they were behind it all, stirring up the trouble, like they always do.
Well, right, where does a ground full of diamonds and gold, how are you going to keep the Jews out? I mean, we've never been able to do that.
It's impossible. It doesn't work. They are always in. Wherever is gold and money, they are in.
Jewels are the god of the Jew.
Yeah.
My dad would say, you can't eat diamonds, you can't eat gold.
But, well, no, and all these white people that are worried about the economy and buying gold, that they're all out of their minds, and it's totally anti-scriptural. And they always try to justify it. Oh, well, we need a little bit. Oh, well, we need this, we need that. No, we don't need anything.
Go grow some food. Better for you anyway.
Right.
So, I'm going to do some more of that type of farming or whatever you call it. Up above ground in your or beds or whatever you call them.
Raised beds.
Yeah, raised beds, right. And I did some broccoli last year. My potatoes didn't come in very well. I don't know why. But
because you're Irish. No.
Well, I got Irish in me. I'm American, really. But I didn't have any luck with the potatoes. I don't know. What did I do wrong? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I've had tomato blight for 2 years in a row, and I'm probably not going to grow any this year. I give up. I surrender. No tomatoes.
Well, I found with the broccoli now, you have to get a real fine net, or it has to be inside of a glass, or what do you call it? Glass.
A hot house.
A close.
I grew broccoli here 2 years ago. It was great. It didn't. I didn't get a ton of it, but what I did get was fine.
Little white butterflies landing on it and laying all these worms or caterpillars. And I heard that you have to put a net, a real fine net over it.
That's it.
I didn't have that problem. Well, when I grew it, I didn't grow it last year, but I didn't have that problem the year I did.
Wow! The broccoli grew like crazy. It really grew well, but I did have a lot of. I had to soak it. My wife was telling me you soak it in salt water, and that'll make the caterpillars fall out. So
right.
But they started eating all the leaves, and just started working on the broccoli, and but I got some pretty good broccoli out of it. So now I'm going to try the onions, potatoes, and garlic, and all that stuff.
Well, just saute up the caterpillars along with it.
Yeah. Well, they.
That's terrible.
What is it? I saw a show on. They're going to start eating bugs. The bugs got more protein in them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, of course. That's the Chinese eat anything. Yeah, you know, when we the more Chinese we get, the more we allow these people to control, our economy, the more our culture is going to gravitate towards them. And they are the history's foulest beasts. They eat anything. And I mean anything. I saw a Chinese guy, when the cicadas came in, grab a cicada out of thin air, rip its wings off, and shove it down his throat in one motion. I couldn't believe it. I just stood there and looked at him. And he shrugged and walked away like nothing ever happened.
He
ate a cicada right in front of him. I mean, that's like it was normal. He didn't do it out of showmanship. He did it because he thought it was a good thing to do.
Yeah. Imagine.
That's not me. We still got good lamb and beef and all that. And
well, they don't have our values. They don't share our values. They're not going to cultivate except when they absolutely have to do so out of necessity. And they're devourers of everything.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. If you see these photographs, what they have in the serving in the market. Whoa.
Right, it's disgusting. They eat anything. And they're extremely wasteful people. I saw a documentary some years ago about these Chinese fishing boats. They would fish these sharks, these 1,000-pound sharks, 2,000-pound sharks. They fish these sharks. They pull them up to the side of the boat. They cut their fins off and throw the cadaver back into the water. Okay. Now I understand that shark's an unclean animal, that we shouldn't eat shark. However, this is from the Chinese perspective. If you have so many millions of people to feed, why are you just throwing 2,000 pounds of shark back into the water? Because the fins are very valuable in Chinese restaurants, and of course they see everything as an aphrodisiac. That's all they really care about is sexual gratification. So their menu is filled with aphrodisiacs or things that are considered to increase their sexual prowess, because that's how they think. And these shark fins are on that list, and all they want is to fill that boat up with shark fins, because they'll get a lot of money for it. That's all they care. Mm-hmm. They operate out of lust and greed. Lust and greed is it. That's what their entire life revolves around.
Yeah.
Their entire national existence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something to think about, huh?
Yahweh didn't make them and never called them good.
No, that's, they can go ahead and eat that. They eat each other too. They can't find anything else to eat.
They're bastards and serpent worshippers from their very beginnings.
Yeah, they never had anything else. That's right.
Well, they heavily use the symbol, don't they, of the dragon?
Yes, they do.
Even, yeah.
That's their symbol. Yeah. That's their worship. They go out and worship that dragon every New Year's and have their big dragon New Year's Day festival, and that dragon is a very prevalent symbol of their society.
Right. It's going straight to the street in a huge procession. All these male under the long thing that's like a snake and the dragon on the head. Yeah. Terrible. If you see that, you can't believe it, but it is so. It's their culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's their origin.
It's their origin, yeah.
What their spirit is made of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dreadful.
I remember, what was it, 75. I think it was around 1980. They brought a bunch of immigrants over from Vietnam, and they put them in Westminster, California. And, you know, for the next year or two, all the dogs and cats start missing.
Just
right.
They were gone. They were just missing.
Yeah.
And they started investigating, and they found out that these restaurants were catching the dogs and cats.
And serving them, right. You're eating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were eating all their... So they had a saying that you have to watch when you walk your dog in Westminster that your dog doesn't get walked.
Yeah.
When you walk your dog in Westminster, you better watch it, your dog doesn't get walked, you know. You know, the walk that they cook in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, me and my wife, my second wife, we used to joke about that all the time. She grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is right across the water from Manhattan. And I grew up in Jersey City, but I had moved to Bayonne at 16. When I moved to Bayonne, there was only one Chinese restaurant in the entire town. And you know, when we were kids, we just never paid it much mind, but there were always stray dogs and cats on every street. Every street was running with stray cats, right? And there were dogs all over the place. Well, in the early 80s, the Chinese started flooding into Bayonne from Chinatown in Manhattan. And I would say that by 1990, there were probably about 30, at least 30, probably more than that, storefront Chinese restaurants in Bayonne. And all of the stray animals disappeared. They all disappeared. You didn't see anymore. There was no active campaign by the city to clean up the stray animals. They just disappeared when they brought the Chinese in.
Yeah,
and they probably all ended up in those little takeout containers and sold to local residents who were stupid enough to eat in those restaurants. I'm sure. I wouldn't doubt it for one minute.
Mm. Yeah, and also Eskimos, they eat all those blubbery. I'm sorry, Koreans. Koreans eat dog.
They all eat any. All those Asians eat anything.
Yeah, I remember. I went to school with a little Korean boy. Well, I remember I was in the fifth grade, and he was saying how they really like coming to America because the dogs are real big, fat dogs. And I said, well, about the dogs not being walked, you know, walking the dog. And they said, no, I'm talking about eating them. And I just thought that was why would you want to eat my dog?
Yeah, you know.
When you're young like that, but I never forgot that.
Yeah.
Well, the Chow Chows come from China, or that area. And when I looked up what they were used for, which was mainly working dogs pulling carts and things like that, it said that they also ate them as well, because they're a very muscular, meaty dog. And, it's an appalling thought, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. True. I mean, if you're starving on an island somewhere out there, you know, that might be another
thing. Well, that's different.
But, you know, they got a lot of fish out there. You can take the
dog.
I don't know.
Not the dog.
I've never been in that position before.
But, well, you know, from a cultural viewpoint, they try to say that it's no different than our eating, cattle or sheep, but basically it all boils down to
eating.
Our understanding that we've drawn our diets across those along those lines that Yahweh had told us, our ancestors thousands of years ago, that some things should be eaten and some things shouldn't, and we've broken that line with shellfish and pork.
Yeah.
And we've conditioned ourselves that that's acceptable, but that's not acceptable either.
No, that's right.
You try to make a Chinaman understand that's not acceptable. He's just void of any of that understanding.
I've just had a thought. Where does horse come, eating horse flesh in Yahweh's law?
We shouldn't.
Right, the French have always eaten horse.
Well, right, and that's the French.
Right.
Well, my mom,
that don't make it right. I mean, you can't separate a redneck from his pig, but that don't make it right. But then again, yeah, I don't think you'll get a redneck to eat a bowl of cockroaches.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Well, I'm still amazed how if you're with a group of people, say if you're out to have dinner or something, and you want to serve your pork. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't eat pork.
Yeah.
Everybody just gets like, well, are you Jewish? Or,
yeah.
I love pork. I was raised on pork, and, you know, it just raises a lot of controversy.
Well, they get very offended, don't they?
It's like, well, go ahead and eat it. I don't eat it. My God tells me not to eat it. And he's the one who created that stuff, so it's not good.
That's amazing.
It was designed to clean up the planet, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's those type of people, too. Those people that they'll vote for Obama and they'll marry out of their race, you know. And you tell them, I don't eat pork. Oh, you know, it's
yeah.
But, I mean, I came from a family that we ate a lot of pork when we were younger. Finally got woken up to it. My mother got woken up to it. We were all had boils all over ourselves. I think I told them. You know, once we stopped eating that pork, a lot of us, I don't remember getting so many colds, and boils went away. I used to get boils really bad from that. And I think a lot of nervous disorders and disease come from pork.
A lot of our diseases, we don't know how many of our diseases actually originate with a violation of God's laws because we don't observe and look at the world in that frame of mind. What we've been, our minds have been Judaized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You hit the nail on the head there. We're all Judaized and Africanized.
If we'd observe God's laws, perhaps we wouldn't get sick. Well, how do we know? Well, I'll tell you how we know. Start observing them. It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, I watched this program on BBC the other day. The chef prepared these oysters and everything. Oh boy! Just that thing going down. I just thought, wow, I could eat that. Give me a nice piece of cod or something. Because they have such nice cod over here and haddock.
How could
they eat that crab? Pardon my English, but. I don't know. Like I said, starvation or something, maybe, but not when we can still eat good stuff.
Yeah, right.
Well, a woman scolded me and told me that I could separate a redneck from their pork. Very few.
Yeah.
I like the South, Southern states down there. Great place, good people. Yeah. Some of the nicest people around in America are down in the South. There, very friendly.
Ill-tempered, unhappy.
I got an interesting book here that I picked up a while back, called "The Symbols of Our Celto-Saxon Heritage" by W.H. Bennett.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Symbols.
Yeah.
So a lot of the symbols that you see even around here in Northern Ireland all goes back to ancient Israel. So I'm just absolutely amazed. I haven't been through this book in a while.
Chris, I went to that LibriVox website. Yeah, because you had posted me those recordings, right?
Yeah.
So I went there and I downloaded every one of Aesop's fables and I posted them on the Saxon Messenger site. And I'm going to get some more stuff from LibriVox. They've done a lot of good work there in reading all that stuff. They really have. I put links to their site right on the recordings. I thought that was only fair.
Yeah. Some of them, they've got them in a funny format. It doesn't come as MP3. It comes down as something else, and I had to convert them.
Well, I had a choice of what to bring them down as. I did have a choice, and I brought all.
There was one. Some of them you don't get a choice.
Well, it took me about 6 hours, I would say, to download 280 something Aesop's fables. I downloaded every one of them. I uploaded them all to my web space, and then I renamed all the files to something quick and easy, and put all the descriptions on them, and uploaded them into the site. And it probably took me about eight hours maybe to do that. But I really wanted Aesop's fables because a lot of people ask about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna eventually get the text to each one of them too, and put them in. Put the text in also.
Yeah, the Open Library, they've got talking books as well, I see now. On something called Daisy. I don't know what that is.
Well, the other files you're talking about are called OGG, O-G-G. Why people like that is that the OGG format, the OGG format, is an open source format, which requires no license. MP3 is really a proprietary format, and it requires a license. And I paid for my Shoutcast audio, for my two servers, for my radio stream, I had to pay $5 a piece. It was only $5, but I still, for me to broadcast those programs in MP3 on the internet, I had to pay $5 a piece for licenses. Otherwise, the software is not going to work. So I was stuck paying it, right?
Hmm.
I mean,
you couldn't do it in OGG then, OG.
Well, I could have if all of my maybe 500 audios podcasts were in OGG. I could, but I wasn't going to sit here and convert them all.
Oh yeah.
Yes, Papa Cat, Og Vorbis.
A lot of people won't have the facilities to listen to that. They have to download the software. And
well, for my radio stream, they would have been able to listen to it because it's the radio stream is you know, any media player or you know, the players on my site would play it on your computer. You wouldn't need other software. But to download it, And I don't know if all the Microsoft media players handles Og Vorbis, and MP3s play when I load a CD up with MP3s, they will play on your CD player.
Yeah.
You know, and on your iPod or whatever you have. Now I have an MP3 player, a portable one, and I could put probably 50 recordings on it and just leave them on it and play them. Yeah, you know, I actually, before I went to Virginia, I knew I had a long drive, so I loaded up that Nennius's History of Britain and put that on my MP3 player and listened to it on the way down on my drive, right? I mean, it's better than listening to filling my head with silly rock and roll, right? I did that, but that MP3 player, and most won't play Og Vorbis. So it is, yeah, you know, there is some advantage to MP3s, but they are proprietary. And for that reason, a lot of people prefer Og Vorbis.
Because on an ordinary CD, you know, 700 megabyte, you can get about 20 hours of listening on MP3. So I put it on the CD and put it in my car. Radio will play MP3, so I just put the disc in, and one disc is more than enough for the whole journey. Has anybody heard of that book I mentioned to you, Matthew, the ancient Hebrew tradition as illustrated by the monuments? It's a German book by Dr. Fritz Hommel.
I didn't have a chance to come before. The bumblebee, yeah, the Moros Kate of the Testament, yeah. Hey, I didn't have not the time to get so far. Because I'm still busy day in, day out, and cleaning out and changing the conference room. That takes weeks of work, because step by step, I have to go through, and there's a lot more than expected. But anyway, I hope to do it in one of these days to find out more. Yeah, that's correct. From Fritz Hommel. Yeah. Yeah. And I can ask Wolfgang about it. That would be a good idea. No.
Anyway, I think Hillary will be coming.
What? Now, right now?
On the to the conference. She says she's probably got on the motorbike.
Yeah. If she's coming by motorbike, she better do it. If she does that, she better take the boat to the Netherlands and from the Netherlands straight on. That's easier.
Yeah.
Then you have to do the boat by the night, and then you're coming on early in the morning, or rather early in the morning. You're arriving at IJmuiden in the Netherlands, and from there it takes you about 10 to 15 minutes to come on the motorway, and you're going straight on to the south of Germany. So that's the best that I can advise. Not over Dover. It's a long way around. It's over around to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll see how it's going. We have about 20 persons. That's the limit. Beyond that, I can't load. Yeah. There will be a great time, I hope.
It was a tight squeeze in my house, wasn't it?
That's right.
But we managed.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah,
there will be somebody dropped something.
regularly.
Right, I got your thing about the Arabs and what else was it you said? Gone there.
Oh, the... oh, yeah. So you could also read it.
Yeah.
Dorcas has a problem that you couldn't open up the... that's one of the Arabs. And also the one of the Etna volcano. Couldn't open up. So...
Well, perhaps he hasn't got PowerPoint.
Oh.
Because you need PowerPoint.
You need PowerPoint.
Or she might, have a lower version. But you can download PowerPoint Viewer 3 free of charge.
Okay,
but probably she wouldn't know how to do that. She probably won't help.
That's what you better can tell her.
Yeah. I think she said she was going away today or something. That's why she couldn't be on.
Today, but in the evening, she wasn't there. And I got her mail today. It came in.
Well, Annika sent a Christmas card, and it only arrived last week, would you believe? It took her almost a month to get from Holland to the UK.
Oh, that's fast.
Well, I'm still waiting for a Christmas card from the Ukraine that never got here.
Well, I can understand it from there.
Michael said he sent me a card. Didn't I get it? No, I never got it.
Well, it probably went far the UK, so that's probably why you didn't get it.
Well, I get mailed back and forth to Judith. We've mailed a couple of times, and Betty, and it's 6 days, 5 days, it's here. I'm amazed.
Yeah, it's been good.
Now, Danny had just mailed me, but I have no idea how long it took because I didn't go to my P.O. box for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
But which happens on occasion.
Yeah. I think I mailed. I don't know where I have the calendar here, but... Did you get that, the chocolates?
Yes.
Try them, or... Did your mom try them, or...
No, not yet. Not yet.
Pretty good stuff.
We always have a house with... Well, we're, chocolate is my vitamin C, right?
Now, wait a minute. You get one of them. That's for your mother and your grandmother, Bill.
Well, yeah, right, but I mean, chocolate, my mother's a chocolate fiend, too, and I'm a chocolate fiend, and we always have a house loaded up with chocolate, right?
Oh, very good.
And my mother is chiefly, she's of British-Scottish descent, right? So, I'll blame it on her.
Hey, June is still falling away.
Our connection's dropped.
I'll be right.
The signals aren't good to Newcastle today, I don't think.
It could be, yeah. It could be. Yeah. But when did you come back?
I came back on Tuesday after the meeting with Hillary.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a good drive down. Not too much.
Yeah. Yeah, the weather was still good enough.
Yeah, but it's surprising when I got towards the outskirts of London, it seems though they've had a lot of rain down here because the ground's saturated and huge pools of water all over the place.
Yeah.
Although the last 2 days it's been quite sunny here.
Okay, that's better. Yeah, that's the coastline, huh?
Yeah, so have you got your snow back in Bavaria?
Yeah, in the morning we had snow here, and the scrapers and the salt shaker, they were at just before 6 o'clock, a quarter to 6, they were driving around here. They did a big job. Well, they used to do, though. It's standard work.
There's a picture in the paper yesterday showing this chap climbing a frozen waterfall, huge waterfall in Norway. So it must be cold there.
Yeah, they have a lower temperature. Yeah, it's still here, just above just above freezing point, or just around freezing point. But that was told in advance that by the end of the week we would have cold weather again. Well, okay, I still have a lot to do, so I don't mind.
Yeah. Oh, I think I am digging up the rest of my potatoes in case it comes here as well.
Yeah.
Well, Danny was looking before you got here, Chris. Danny was looking for potato advice, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, you just put them in the ground and they grow.
But, well, evidently he has a problem with the growing part.
Yeah.
I think he got them into the ground, but he might have a problem with the growing part.
Or did he put them upside down?
Well, it doesn't really matter with potatoes. Cause
right.
No, it just takes a bit longer.
Yeah.
It comes from under up. Yeah.
But maybe it was very saturated ground. They could have got blight or something. I don't know.
That could be.
But they grow quite well in upright sacks as well, if you want to do that. In fact, they'll grow 4 or 5 feet, the tops, because you've got several feet of soil underneath. And if you're short of land, ground, which I am, that's one of the ways of growing them. And it also gives you potatoes, new ones on Christmas Day and things like that.
Oh.
Judith, how did you ever make out with your border dispute? Speaking about being short on ground, I hope you made out.
Oh, yes, yes. I think we've got a standoff. But because he was so unpleasant and I had to resort to a solicitor and look at the land registry, we discovered that part of the backfield, which I'd always assumed was his, is registered in our name, part of it. Now, that doesn't give us entire ownership, but it gives us an interest in it, which means he can't sell it without dealing with that interest. So this is a prime example of people reaping what they sow. You know, he comes along, trespasses on my land, hacks the trees down, or the lower branches, and thinks he can get away with it. And really, he's not achieved anything like that. But as I say, it's a standoff at the moment.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you stuck to your guns.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did come on Boxing Day, because he'd nothing better to do with his tractor, and cut down a few trees I planted on what was his land, but you know, which his mother had given me permission to use. So you know, it that was fairly malicious because they were very beautiful trees. But you know, that's his land, so yeah, it's okay. But at the moment, it's a standoff, and
I would rent my part of the field out to gypsies or something, right? That would fix him good. That's malicious.
Yeah.
Fun though.
Should have had a TPO put on them.
Sorry, what was that?
Tree preservation order.
Oh right.
And they have to pay a big hefty fine if they cut them down.
Well, they're not that old, actually, but it's just that it gave me privacy where I needed it. And,
that's it.
Yeah. But he was very careful not to take any of the branches away, because apparently under British law, if you do that, then that's stealing, and then that becomes a criminal offence. So he just left them all in situ, so he knew precisely what he was doing.
You left the pile of branches there?
Oh, yes, he left all branches that he cut off.
So he could chop your tree down. It's on his land, but he can't take the tree away.
He chopped. The ones he chopped down were on my land, but the lower branches.
And he left those there.
He left those there. Now, had he actually taken those, that would have been stealing. It would have been a criminal offence, but he didn't. He left them there. So when I reported it to the police, they said, "I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do."
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Now I know why my ancestors left Britain. Strange laws.
Well, did you hear about them trying to cut? Well, they cut the branches off the Joseph's tree there in Glastonbury.
Yeah, That's what I wanted to say.
Whoa. But, they were really, they better watch out for people doing that. That'll cause world war.
But if you have seen the photographs, then they didn't take away the branches. It was all left there.
I'm looking for that article here. I had it.
It wasn't cleaned out. They didn't take away the branches, because that would be the same war.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen these photographs, and the whole bunch is there. They took it down, and it's on the ground.
Yeah, they better watch that. That'll cause a war.
So I was wondering, why were these branches there? Now I do understand. It's pretty clear. Yeah.
Well, if they were seen with the branches, obviously people would know who it was, you know. So.
Even, yeah.
I don't think it was for that reason. It was just to desecrate this tree.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fingers up to the Glastonbury tradition.
Yeah, the Glastonbury thorn.
Yeah, but they could have.
And they say that's the original tree also, that they preserve the trunk of it, whatever, and let it grow.
I think it's a cutting, isn't it, that's grown from the original stock?
Yeah,
it's a cutting from the original because the
right.
The real one was cut down years ago, centuries ago.
Yeah.
The original one. This is a cutting from that original tree.
Right.
Yeah.
But which they supposedly planted in several places, but from what I read.
There are some more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did I do with that article I had in here?
Well, I'm sure I have it somewhere, but I'm not about to go looking for it.
Yeah.
The absurd.
That's the law there that they cut the tree down, but they steal the branches, then they're really hot water.
Yeah.
That's right. They left the branches and they took the barrier and they put the barrier up over the where the branches were, something like that.
Yeah.
From the pictures I've seen of it.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem that everything's under attack at the moment. This week we had the case of the bed and breakfast couple. Do you remember who had refused a room in their own home to a homosexual couple?
I'm going to post that. I just don't know when I have the chance to do it yet, that's all.
Right. And the judge ruled against them and fined them £3,600 for discrimination. But they did point out that they did not offer rooms to heterosexual couples if they were not married either, because they were Christians and they just said, you know, that the whole setup was wrong. So in other words, a homosexual has more rights in law than a Christian. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Absurd.
Mm. But that's where we are at the moment.
Well, they tell you what, you know, who do you have to hire? They tell you, you know, you have to hire so many of the people that you don't want to hire, and they control every facet of our lives now.
Well, they try to.
Mm-hmm.
But that is absurd. If I see somebody whom I don't trust or don't like, then it's up to me whether I'll give him the opportunity to have a room rented or not.
Especially in your own home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's absurd. It's my home. I have to decide who is going in and out. And not somebody that is crazy.
Mm.
I think it's so
well,
absurd.
Well, that judge should have been removed from the bench, but...
The judges are making law now this way, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's been going on in America for many years, and people have been letting them get away with it.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, apparently this couple are being supported by the Christian Institute, who supply the lawyers and the funding as well. Enough donations have been sent to pay the fine, and the judge has given them leave to appeal, so it hasn't ended yet.
Okay.
Good.
It's to be crazy in this world. If they dare search, how do they dare? to get that even in mind. It's my own house. If my brother would come in here, I would bail him out. He would never come in. There's no day where you hear the most ridiculous things. What a world.
And this week also, the EU emissions trading system, you know, where they buy and sell these carbon credits, that system's been hacked into, and all these credits have been removed and or stolen. They're electronic theft from registries. But I just think it's quite amusing.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
It's a bit like something out of an Orwell 1984 book.
Well, we always get warning one way or another, and we don't heed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was writing in 1947, wasn't he? And we've had certainly plenty of forewarning, and most of it's come to pass.
I always think that Yahweh has those little ways that he coaxes us to wake up, and you know, he says, Paul says that, you know, it's along with our trials come the way out if we would only take it, right?
Yes.
And that way we would persevere to trial, but we never seem to even look for the way out because we don't know we're being tried.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when the government, when the average income tax rate in this country goes from 5%, which it was in the 1950s or less, I think that was the top rate, to 60% or whatever, and nobody seems to notice a problem, except for the poor bastard paying 60%, and nobody, most Americans don't care about him. They perceive that he's rich, he can afford it. Yeah, no problem.
That's the problem with democracy, isn't it?
Right, and they don't realize that that's the guy that's creating jobs or that's, you know, and that if you allow his liberty to be impeded on, well then you don't deserve your own.
Sure.
And now they don't have it. So who can complain? Who has a right to complain? They don't have a right to complain.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think there's also going to be another wake-up call, because shortly in the EU, all herbal medicines will be illegal. And
yeah, right. That's just crazy. That is mad. That is, if people don't see that as a blatant restriction of the most basic liberties to eat what grows out of the ground, right? I mean, Genesis chapter 1, right?
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That don't apply to us, because that applies to Cro-Magnon man. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
But it could well be a wake-up call for people. But even then, there's a way out of it, because there are, alternative energy medicine, there are answers that bypass all that. And I just think our Heavenly Father always gives us a way out. You've got to waken up first to be able to seize the opportunity.
That's it.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But a lot of things seem to be coming to a head all at once over the next few months.
Yeah. It's a crazy year. It's 11.
We shall see. I don't get, you know, we should, being Christians, we should fear nothing and put
nothing
our faith in Yahweh.
It certainly is.
Never fear their fear.
Well, it only attracts fear.
Yeah. Hey, on the other hand, I'm just reading something here again, which I had in mind to tell, concerning the whole activity of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I checked it on Tuesday morning, when I was in the kitchen, and I said, hey, I think I heard something which was incorrect or whatever, and I jumped into the Bible to find out what it was, and I have to pick it up here, and I'll quote it from Genesis 2, start at 8, verse 8. And that's interesting. The from Farrah Fenton, of course. What he's saying here, the ever-living God then planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. How we learned. And out of the ground, the ever-living God caused to grow all the trees. That's interesting. Out of the ground. That means he didn't do it himself. He gave the permission that something could come out of the ground. Even by somebody else. Not by his will. This is the interesting thing. And out of the ground, the ever-living caused to grow all the trees that were beautiful and good for food, as well as the tree of the life in the center of the garden.
Now, the tree of life, I believe, is Christ. I am the true vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He is the tree of life, and we are the branches of that. The Adamic race, we are each a part of that tree of life. But the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, notice that God didn't create it in the garden. It never says that anywhere. It was in the garden. That's what it says. And because it knows evil, it can't be part of those trees that are beautiful and good for food. And I believe that that's the fallen angels. And we in 2C Divine Identity want to understand the serpent is already in the garden. And we want to understand that as one of the adversaries of God from Revelation chapter 12. Then we have to understand that that's part of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that they're the angels that left their first estate. And the angels that left their first estate, that this is talked about by Jude. It's talked about by Peter. It's equated by these apostles to this this tree of knowledge, to this serpent. To these people, and this is the evidence that it's the fallen angels that are responsible for the corruption of everything that was here before Adam and Eve, because they were already here. And Eli thinks it's a joke. He thinks I'm kidding when I say that if there were white people in the garden before Adam and Eve, then that's because they were the fallen angels. If there were white people on this planet before Adam and Eve, that's because they were the fallen angels, because only the fallen angels could have been white. That there's no other, and we see in all kinds of Old Testament scripture that angels are white. That's the only way we could entertain angels unaware, and Eli thinks that's crazy. But that's my position, and I'm sticking to it. And that is scriptural. If that jives with all scripture. And his phony two Adam theory, and an Adam created before Adam, and that just negates scripture. That's the way it is. That sounds harsh, but that's the way it is.
Well, also, those fallen angels are Jews.
Well, that's the creation of the Jews. I mean,
all that beast, all those beast people are all part of that.
Well, yes. Because Christ tells us there's only two kinds of fish, good fish and bad fish. And if the good fish are those who are going to be preserved, who are the good fish? That they can only be the children of Adam, the children of Israel, the good seed planted by Yahweh at the beginning of the world. And who are the bad fish? Everybody else.
I think what he's bringing up now, there must have been some type of whiter people on this earth. Before, did you ever see that show, Ice Columbus? Iceland Columbus or something? Ice Age Columbus? Supposedly that, a white race of people came across America, or came across the ice flow and settled in America like 20,000 years ago, something like that. It could be referring to something like that, but that's not Adam, man.
No, absolutely. But he's trying to make it Genesis 1 Adam. Eli is trying to make that Genesis 1 Adam. And that doesn't jive with scripture.
It doesn't work with archaeology either.
Well, Eli claims it's perfectly correlated with archaeology and history. I'd like to know who wrote that history, because I never saw a book that old. I'm sorry, I just haven't. I've been looking, too.
So... But these people weren't builders, they just, you know, they were...
Oh, well, if Eli wants to debate, I'll debate him anytime, anywhere, drop of a hat, I'll debate him. I don't need to prepare, I'll debate him. I don't have a problem. And that's, everybody hears that, that's here, and I have no problem with that. And anytime Eli wants to debate, all he has to say is, let's go. He could have showed up here today and said, let's go, let's talk about this. I'll discuss it with him anytime. Well, I'm going to stick to Scripture. I don't give a damn what the Jews say about natural history and science. We have to stick to the Scripture first. If we're Christians, we have to believe the Bible first. We can't mold the Bible around what the Jews say about natural history and science. We have to understand natural history and science through the lens of Scripture, and Scripture has to be primary.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not Christians. We're Jews.
It all fits. It fits everything. When it's the truth, if it's archaeology, if it's science, it fits.
Well, right. Absolutely. It fits in my mind. I have no problem. And Clifton and I, we've been discussing this for years, and both of us, and we didn't start out on the same level. And I actually, 10 years ago, thought Comparate was probably right, because I put my trust in him. I had to go and back and think about this and argue with it and think about it and argue with it to get it right in my own mind. And that's just the way it is. But we have to be willing to open up our minds to it. And if we think that we are some sort of fount of knowledge that's supposed to come from us, and we're in a position of authority, and we're supposed to have the truth and dictate it out, well, we're never going to learn the truth that way.
No.
I'm willing to change my mind. He's going to have to show me where I'm wrong in Scripture. And he can't do that. With this two-Adam thing, he can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think Genesis 5:1 complements the...
Well, it absolutely is. It seals it, as far as I'm concerned. It blows up all his arguments. All his arguments are based around a comparison of two verses. You can't study the Bible with two verses and discard everything else.
Yeah. Well, another thing that I was discussing, I think it was with Alan, was this fact that Genesis 1 says that the man was going to have dominion over the earth and subdue the earth. What other race on this earth is subdued the white race?
Oh, absolutely. There's a million places to go with this, and that's a good argument.
Yeah.
That there's a million places to go with this.
Yes. But it just doesn't, you know, when you look at it, because I used to believe the same way. I always thought, well, it must be too crazy. I never got into figuring out, took the time actually to dig into it deep, and because I couldn't figure out why is he saying this guy is this is the same translation as Adam and man. That doesn't make sense. But like you say, you know, we take it for granted, and we should never take anyone for granted.
Right.
We've got to check it out ourselves. And
well, I've learned that the hard way myself.
Because then you get cornered, and it has to make sense. This word has to make sense to people for people to understand it.
Well, right. I can't teach Eli's theory because people are going to look at the Scripture and open up a concordance and they're going to laugh at me. So and Eli doesn't get that, I guess. Eli is, I don't know. You know, he could have walked away from this argument and not mentioned my name in his paper and not mischaracterized my position, and I would have forgotten about it. But, you know, he pushed it when I think he pushed this on me when he put that paper on his website, mentioned my name, and assigned to me a position that I do not hold. And that he mischaracterized my position. Now, I tried to, he sent me this paper on November 16th and asked me to critique it. I returned it to him on November 17th and asked him, you know, Eli, I really hope you look at my critique. It's only about a dozen statements. And he told me he never looked at it since then, but I just took it for granted that he looked at it and cast it aside, because I couldn't imagine him not looking at it after our phone conversation. But now he says he never looked at it. I sent it to him again the other day. He tried to tell me the other day, I never remember getting it. And I said, well, I went back in my email to November 17th and forwarded the email to him and said, well, here's the email I sent it to you in. And he's like, oh, now I remember downloading it. Well, all he had to do was open it up and read 12 statements.
Right.
Yeah, you know? And
well, you'll get around the It's just, it reminds me when we had that discussion on two seed line a few years back that, it's everybody, it was a, it was something that had to been brought out in the open and had to be discussed. I'm glad it did.
Well, I'm willing to discuss it with Eli anytime he wants, and I'm willing to go on Friday and do the Jeremiah program, and go on Saturday and do the Revelation program, and set this debate aside in order to do the programs for the sake of the programs. But whatever he wants to do, we'll do, right?
Let's come reason together, brothers and sisters, because that's what I've found. Because there's it just doesn't fit anything else. It has to be the same Adam.
Well, right. Genesis 5 blows that apart. Eli wants to say that Adam was taken from some Cro-Magnon man, and that's where we came from, and then Adam's spirit was put into him. But the Bible says that Adam came from the dust of the earth. And if Eli wants to say that means that we came from the Cro-Magnon man, then Eli better go read Genesis 3:19, right? Because when we die, we don't become Cro-Magnon men, we become dust. And if that word dust means dust at the beginning of the verse, it means dust at the end of the verse. So Eli's got a whole big problem with Genesis.
When
Adamic people die, they don't become Cro-Magnon men. So the dust that we're returning to is the same dust we came from.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just
you got to read the whole Bible before you start running your mouth. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I remember another discussion that was unbelievable was... Was this no Satan or no devil?
well, right. That's Mark Downey, and that's just crazy too. Mark Downey, Sheldon Emery, they're all nuts. No devil.
Yeah, that's true.
And what I can't get over with Mark, I talk to him once in a while, and he understands the Jews, and he understands the evil, and he understands the source of most of our troubles. And he won't take it one more step in it and just understand that Jews are Satan.
Didn't he write that book yesterday, today, and tomorrow or something like that?
No, that was that other clown. That was Ted Wieland, I think.
Oh.
I challenged him to a debate, and he just ignored me.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent me a letter of Ted Wieland's where Ted was bad-mouthing Clifton.
I'm pretty sure he was a one seed line also.
Yeah, right. One seed line, no seed line.
Yeah, that's what you could even read in the old sign and sign message, which came by post.
Gallagher, Jerry Kirk did appear here on the program. And you could go back and look at the podcasts for the Monday Night Forum, and you'll see his name on one of them. I ran him out of here in 2 minutes flat.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't let me get a question in edgewise and counter one of his points, so I just ran his ass out of here.
Mm.
He clearly had an agenda and didn't want to have a discussion.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming on your show.
Well, he's coming on my server, right, and he's not going to let me talk, and I wanted to address one of his points that he disproved himself, right, with something he said, and I wanted to challenge him on that, and he wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise, so I just ran his ass out of here. He's a clown. He's a total Bible clown. Bible clowns are people that make up their own Bible, and I call them Bible clowns. When you start making up your own Bible, you're a Bible clown.
Yeah. That's right. So,
yeah, it's a serious topic. It's a topic that you just have to
But, well, it's a topic we have to get right, because this is a war we're fighting. This ain't no joke. This is life. And if we don't get it right, then how are we ever going to expect to be good soldiers in the battle, right?
Yeah.
Totally to God.
Yeah.
So if Eli wants to talk to me about the other races, I'll talk to him anytime he wants, and he'll know that too. He'll know it as soon as I talked to him. But he said in his email on the 18th that he challenged me formally to a debate. I never received a challenge like that. So that's just that's just not true.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Well, there's a lot of things in his email on the 18th that aren't right, but and he's going to get them from me. I have them jotted out in front of me.
Well, he's going to need to come forward with this and discuss it.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping he reads my paper first that I put out last week, right?
Yeah.
Now, as for Genesis 3:1, where Eli says that Genesis 3:1 is the proof that God made the other races, where it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh God had made." And Eli says, that proves right there Yahweh created the other races. No, it doesn't. It doesn't prove anything of the sort. Wherever we see beast of the field used in later scripture, metaphorically, of two-legged beast with hands, you know that type of beast, the hominid beast, the word is behemoth. On almost every occurrence, if not every occurrence, the word is behemoth. Here, the word is che. Okay? Now, that's the first problem with Eli's, you know, that's the first and that's the obvious problem. Okay? Basically, what this phrase is saying is that the serpent, the actual reptilian snake, is the most subtle of all beasts, and therefore, here in this verse, we learn why that epithet was used metaphorically of the seducer of Eve. Okay? Now, this verse doesn't prove that Yahweh created the two-legged serpent, and it doesn't prove that Yahweh made any two-legged beasts. The word beast of the field is a pejorative. It's like calling somebody an animal. That doesn't mean that Yahweh created that animal. Now this, if Eli wants to insist that the beast of the field here is a technical term describing a certain biological creature, well then snake better be a technical term describing a certain biological creature.
Yeah.
So is beast of the field a technical term? No. It's why the race of people that seduce Eve are called serpents, because they're subtle. That being compared to the snake in the grass in this verse. That's all this verse is doing. This verse has nothing to do with the origin of the other races. It's a very sophisticated argument on Eli's part. It does not wash. I'm not going to accept his interpretation of this verse. And it does not prove anything. I'm not going to let Eli dictate to me that his interpretation is the correct one. He could take it and 75 cents and go get a bus ride to somewhere. If he could still get a bus ride for 75 cents. Probably not, huh?
Probably not. Yeah. Like I said, that chapter 5:1-2.
Chapter 5:1-2 blows Eli's whole theory about chapters 1 and 2 apart.
I mean, I can't. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought is, how does this match? How does this fit in?
Yeah, you know, Eli calls Clifton's theory the recapitulation theory, that Genesis 2 is talking about the creation from a different perspective. But I don't think he ever read 2:4, where it says that, you know, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth. I don't think, if Adam's a different Adam, then the heavens and the earth have to be a different heavens and earth.
And this is a genealogy of earth.
God already rested in Genesis 2:3, right?
That's right.
So Eli's own logic is totally illogical. That's the way it is.
Otherwise, Genesis 2:5 couldn't have said that there wasn't a man to till the ground.
Well, exactly. That was a major point in my presentation. And that word is Adam. And in the Septuagint, in Genesis 1, it's Anthropos. Well, in 2:5, that word is Anthropos. So they can't, Lily tried to get me on the Septuagint, and I beat her right down.
And also says in 128 here. He was given every seed-bearing plant, sowing seed, which is on the whole earth, and every tree in itself a fruit, a seminal seed, we have for food. And he's already sowing here.
Well, right, but that's because it's just a retelling of the story. It's a retelling. It's another version of the same story.
So, see, that's...
Not to come to it.
Yeah. Talk about raining on the earth. There was water on the earth before that.
June made a big argument with me last on the last Euro Forum that Adam was planted into a garden where there were already trees good to eat, and Genesis 2:8 refutes that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Genesis 2:8 clearly refutes that.
Yeah.
You know, people hear a story. We I've fallen guilty of this myself, right? We know the Genesis account. We haven't read it in a year or 2 years or 5 years or whatever. In some instances, I'm sure it's that long. And when people talk about it later and they're explaining it, we remember reading these things, so we think they're being correct when they explain it, but we don't really remember clearly the order of events, so we can be misled easily.
Very too easily.
But, well, it's very clear from Genesis 2:8, Adam was formed first and then put into the garden, and then did those trees that were pleasant to the eye and good for food grow. But they didn't exist before Adam was put into the garden, which is one of the basic premises of the people that promote the two Adam theory, and it falls apart.
They have to dig in and look themselves and realize it.
Yeah, it's always the best. If you hear something, just go and check it. That's best of all. There's nothing wrong with that. And if I don't understand or don't realize it, then I say, what was it? Then I'm going to look for. And you will find it. It's no problem.
Yep, that's the Bible. Always something.
Yeah,
always
you better check it.
Interesting to study.
It's like flying a 7. It's like flying a 747. Check and recheck. Otherwise, it comes down. Well, we'll see how it will be on Sunday evening. Oh, then we will continue the Joseph story. That's good.
Joseph story.
Yeah, the testimonies.
Oh.
Greg Howard. Yeah. That was Greg Howard.
Yeah. Icelander.
Yeah, Iceland is in.
I don't know if he's talking to us or to somebody else that's in his room.
By the telephone. I think it's... That's to learn Icelandic.
Why should I have to learn Icelandic? They speak English. I just have to learn English. Yeah, he's on the telephone. He's something. I don't want to hear his conversation.
It's pretty difficult to hear.
It won't matter, will it? Because you don't understand what he's talking about anyway.
Yeah. Hey, what's Chris doing? Is he having a telephone? You're old boy.
Well, do we have anything else? It's been about 3 hours, and I don't know if my if I could hold out on leaving any longer. I don't know if I drink too much tea, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ready to call it tonight.
Okay, well, I'll see you here. The in 2 weeks, I think, is the first Thursday in February, right?
Right.
I have the map here, the time to...
February 3rd.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, February 3rd. Right, then I have a note here on it. Oh, that's... Well, that could be just an interesting night. Because that is just a new moon. if it's fine weather, I'm not here.
Okay, well, that's it. I'm going to wrap it up, and thank you, everybody. Thank you for being here, and praise Yahweh.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. See you all later.
See you on Sunday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.